This is The Real Dirt, sponsored by CannaCraft, leading the way in California cannabis science. Yeah, so today's dirt, we're here with Brian Barfield. Brian Barfield, longtime friend, first-time listener.
Yes.
Me and Brian are also from Georgia. Brian currently lives in Humboldt County and is transitioning from the cooking industry into the cannabis industry.
Yes.
And right now he's transitioning into to rolling a joint. Obviously, the cannabis industry isn't new to you, Brian.
No. This is something we've been doing for a while.
Yeah, even I'm watching you twist that joint up, though. It's you did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I thought you were about to say it looks like my first time.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to work on the commitment.
I see.
That's the biggest problem with rolling a joint is the commitment and the finger flip. Whoop. You know, people can't get the transition from the fingers to the roll.
And yeah, that's the hardest part.
From the tuck to the roll.
Yep.
Right?
There we go.
There. So do you have a hard time singing and playing bass? Can you do that?
I do have a hard time doing that.
Yeah. I could tell because you can't roll joint and talk at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, interesting. Most of my guests, usually they make it almost to the end of the episode before they fire it up. But
I thought that's what this was all about.
Oh, great. Awesome. Well, it is. Well, you know, I stick it out there. I put some weed out on the tray.
You stick it out there.
I just put it out there. I got the weed out on the tray, my raw rolling papers and my raw tray and my Mendo mulcher.
From Willie T's.
And most people just, they'll ask or they'll, you know, make a motion to it. And, you know, we twist it up, but it usually lasts for a minute, right?
Oh.
Well, I see you're such a professional. So you're in the food industry.
Yes, chef. Been cooking for about 25 years. And started out in cooking in Athens. A steak and ale. I was a lunch cook there. Yeah, right? And it was basically just to pay the rent because I played in a band down there for years. And while cooking in the restaurant, I kind of fell in love with it. Became my backup plan. The band never made it. Which it didn't.
It almost, like, almost.
Almost,
did.
Man.
Almost.
Chasing the dream. Yeah, still, man. Chasing the dragon.
The manager wouldn't have screwed us out of our commission.
Yeah, totally. It was, I think their downfall was Boston, you know. But it's okay, though. Boston, all those gigs got canceled. It's not much of a college town anyway, so, you know, not that big of a loss, you know. Thank you for the Spinal Tap reference there.
Oh, shit.
The Boston. Yeah, not too many colleges there.
Yeah, no.
Doesn't matter if the gigs got canceled.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you've been a chef as long as I've known you, I suppose.
Yes. But just recently hung up the knife.
Hung up the knife, so to speak.
Yeah. Put it on the shelf.
Actually to speak, probably, huh?
Yeah.
Did you put it in the drawer?
I put it in the drawer. I did. I sharpened it for the last time, threw it in there, and dove into the cannabis industry. Yes.
You've been chefing it up and you decided to move into the cannabis industry. So today we're in Humboldt County at the Molecule Studios, and Brian just started working for Humboldt Integrated Cannabis. So has it been something you thought about, like, or something like, how did you decide to to change careers?
Well, it's funny you ask. Myself, like a lot of people out here, previously had other friends that lived out here, and so to say invited them out. And I had a friend that had lived out here since he lived out here for basically the past 20 years. And I saw him a few years back, and we had a conversation, and he asked if I'd like to come out here and give it a shot. And it's something I've always wanted to do. And in fact, about 20 years ago, when all my friends were moving out here, I probably should have moved out here then, but drug my feet for 20 years, picked up a kitchen skills and a degree in cooking, and which was cool. But it's funny, the friend that I won't mention any names, but the friend that brought me out here, He, when we were like 13 years old, we were at the, at my house back in Atlanta, back in Georgia. And I remember, he came over and we were out in the backyard and he saw that we had thrown some seeds down and we actually had some plants growing. And I mean, they were tall, tiny little starch, you know, and he thought it was so cool. He's like, man, is that weed? We're like, yeah. And he's like, dude, you guys are growing weed? That's fucking cool, man. And I was like, yeah.
So you did it because it was the cool thing to do.
Yeah, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. We just found some seeds and threw them in the ground. We're like, we're going to grow some weed. But it was funny because he stuck with it, you know, and continued it. And, you know, I did not and went to college and did some, you know, started growing in my closet. But this guy actually was producing really, really decent buds. After that, he took off and from Atlanta and moved out west. And we kind of lost touch for a little while. And then I saw him again about 20 years later at a friend's house. And we reconnected. And we basically had a conversation. And here I am.
Conversation got you here.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What's your day like? Tell us what goes on in a grow, in a grow Joe's life.
It depends on if I'm doing greenhouse work or my own personal stuff, but lately the schedule is basically getting up and getting ready, going to get some coffee, and then going up the hill and starting off watering, and just, you know, depending on what needs to be done that day.
So the day starts off with coffee.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure. Starts off with coffee. How much coffee do you give the plants?
He's about a cup of plant. Cup of plant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, caffeinated. I like him, get him juiced.
I mean, you guys must have a incredible bathroom break policy. Yes. At Humboldt Integrated Cannabis.
Yes.
So greenhouse. It's greenhouse production.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the greenhouse.
Company is Hortimax. And I forget the dimensions of this thing. It's like we have two beds.
A million by a million.
Yeah, a million by a million.
A million's huge. So it's a fully lit.
Yeah, it's fully automated. It's pretty cool. It's whereas most guys are pulling, you know, a tarp for depth, you know, they're pulling it by hand. This thing's computer, fully automated, closes it, lights raise up and down, sides roll up. It's got a vent on the top that will open up. It's pretty nice.
It's all computer controlled.
Computer controlled, yeah. It's right. Got a weather station on it, and it
weather station,
yeah.
Monitors the wind, yeah, the rain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's windy from the east, you know, and sometimes it'll roll the east side up to allow some air flow through, and so it's constantly changing. It's got its own little brain that it constantly works.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I know we'll get some photos of that up on the website if we can.
Yes, indeed.
There's some top secret technology in there. If you guys, we can get the releases worked out, we'll issue yes. that information. What is the life of a cannabis worker entail? What do you do when you get there? You open up the door.
Open up the doors and
go through security. Like, give us the whole rundown. Give us the whole rundown.
No, I mean, I can't give you the whole rundown.
Right.
But okay, you get there and, basically just open it up and walk in and see what needs to be done. Usually it's the hydration is always an issue. So that can always, you know, something's always needing watering, cleaning up bottoms, you know, just basically depends on what stage you're in, you know.
Cleaning up bottoms.
What's the bottom of the plants. The bottom of the plants. Yeah, uh-huh. Making sure that they're, you don't want any of the scragglies.
Yeah, you have to realize most of our listeners know nothing about cannabis or interested in about cannabis,
yeah.
and love to smoke it or fascinated with being able to make money off something to grow
You definitely want to go in there and clean your bottoms up because you end up with a bunch of what they call larf, which is kind of useless
buds.
Yeah, you can use it for hash, but it's like you're just wasting your time and energy on it. Yeah, so clean those up, that way the tops produce better.
Right. So when you clean the bottoms off, the tops get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
There's more energy that goes to the top of the plant.
And you have less chance of getting PM and bugs and things like that when you clean your bottoms up. Better airflow.
Right.
Things like that.
Right. You said hydration. You guys water by hand. You have an automated
system. Yeah, right now we're watering by hand. Mm-hmm. You would think it would be that too would be automated, which would be nice. And But right now I'm doing it by hand, and we're supposed to drop some drip lines in to make it automated, make it a little easier, but we're trying to figure out how it would be the best, the most efficient way to do that.
Cost effective. Right. Oh yeah, man. Yeah. You guys need to use the DET, mm-hmm. drip emitter tubing, the half inch or the quarter inch line product. The half inch line product's the best thing for beds. I happen to know you guys are growing in beds.
Yes.
Right. In soil.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you literally make a manifold off the on the top of each bed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then that's of a 1 inch line or, you know, 3/4 inch PVC.
Yeah.
Right. And then off of that, you have these half inch runs that'll go down each one of your aisles. Right. And the cool thing about this stuff is it already comes with a pressure compensated drip emitter installed inside the half inch line.
Very nice.
So you just unroll it and it comes out at pre-made widths of 6 inches, 12 inches, 18 inches. And it's a Netafim product. Great product. I'm a Netafim distributor, so that's why I know all this about it. But Netafim's top-notch drip irrigation manufacturing company in the world. We sell tons of their products at our store.
Mm-hmm.
But you just roll this stuff out, right? And when you harvest.
Yeah. You just roll it back up.
You just roll it back up. Right? Yeah,
how hard is it to clean? Does it get clogged with nutrients or get gummed up on the inside?
Right. The whole thing about drip systems is you just have to do the math on your compensated drippers,
mm-hmm.
how many drippers you have, how many gallons of an hour each dripper is, and then the flow rate of your volume of line, right? So it's simple. It's how much water comes in can also go out, and you just have to do the math,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you guys got a 50-foot bed and you've got a DET line, drip emitter tubing, DET line,
mm-hmm.
that is a half inch. It's 50 foot long. It has one dripper of a gallon an hour every foot. That means you're going to get 50 gallons,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
per that half gallon line. I mean, half inch line, right? And that line will hold like 180 gallons an hour. So you know that like the drippers will meet the volume.
Sure.
Right. And you just, you know, run one of those down per line.
That's what I need. That's what we're talking about dropping it one in the next few days.
It's so easy to put together.
Sounds like we just need to get you up there
Yeah, you can't afford me, Brian. Maybe you could subcontract me.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah, no doubt. So you're basically like growing the weed then.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. Right. You quote unquote on a daily basis, you tend the plants.
Tend to the plants. Yep. Do the trellising. Do the spraying.
So
checking for any kind of powder mold or anything.
So take us through the life of a plant, Brian. What happens
through the life of the plant?
Yeah. So we come in and you guys. Take clones, make clones. Let's start from there.
Usually, lately we've been
buying clones.
It's half and half. Well, it's such a large facility. It's been hard to keep up with the numbers. So a lot of times we'll have to purchase half the ones that we don't have on hand.
Right.
You know, say you're growing 500. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, depending on.
So you're either buying or making your own clones.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And then we'll take and veg them out and veg them. In a vegetative state for, you know, sometimes three weeks.
3 weeks, and that's under 18 hours of light?
Yeah, 18 and 6.
Under T5s or iGrows?
Yeah, T5s or iGrows.
Yeah, okay.
Usually iGrows these days. And then from that point, we'll drop them in the beds once they've vegged out for the proper time.
Mm-hmm.
And they look healthy enough and large enough to what you call flip, which is when you need to go 12 on and 12 off.
Right, to flower it.
Yeah, flowering. So we'll take them and drop them in the soil, in the beds, line it. That's a pain in the butt. Make sure everything's lined up and in straight lines, especially when you work with folks that are OCD.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, my friends that are OCD in the business, I kind of admire them for it because they usually end up with clean looking items. Everything's in straight lines and looks nice. So.
So you transplant your clones.
Transplant them. Yeah.
You put some. You flower them. You turn the tarps onto 12 to 12. Which explain this?
It triggers the plant into a flower stage, which makes it bud.
Right.
Which is what you're actually wanting, the flower that you could harvest. But yeah, so the 12 and 12, it's when the plant knows to go into flower stage, start producing its buds. Usually when you grow indoors, you have control of that. Or if you have a tarp, you know, in a greenhouse, you're controlling that, which is where you get the light depot. But so that's go for like 8, 9, 10, 10 weeks, depending on the strain. And then you flush them, which is plain water, and harvest them.
All right. So it's a you got a 9 or 10 week cycle. What kind of strains are you guys growing?
Right now we're doing Sour Diesel and
my favorite
SFV OG San Fernando Valley. It's a OG. Good OG.
Mm-hmm. San Fernando. You know Tony.
Yeah, Tony don't like OG out here. I heard he's not a big fan.
It's a 10-week cycle, you guys, and then you just start it all over again. You're growing, you know, the non-stop. Same type of things, SFV and Sour Diesel.
Yeah, it's while you're flowering, you're also getting ready for your next run after that. So you're vegging your
right.
That's
right.
When you're taking your cuts.
The cycle.
Yeah, so you're taking your cuts and you're transplanting those cuts into.
So how long does it work from flower to flower? Flower, it takes 10 weeks. Uh-huh. You harvest it.
And then within 1 week, it's replanted.
It's replanted and flowering again?
Mm-hmm, flowering again.
So that means 11 weeks for one cycle.
Yeah.
So 11 weeks into 52 weeks out of a year.
About five times?
Four something.
Yeah, four and a half.
Five. You could get five times in 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So that's an interesting life cycle. It's just the same thing kind of over and over again.
Yeah.
Right.
Never ends.
No, never ends.
No breaks, no holidays.
So this is all just the start of the legal cannabis industry here in California. It's right now it's real. It's I'm going to call it just in the beginning stages of the regulation. What do you see happening here in the future? What do you see happening here now in the Humboldt County? Let's talk about that. What's happening here right now with the new legal cannabis?
What's happening?
I mean, obviously there's people like yourselves.
What's happening is a lot of people are coming out of the woodworks and applying for permits and trying to go the legal route. But at the same time, there's a lot of people who are not.
Right. You're just going to do the same thing. We're
just
going
to continue. Yeah. And
right. Most of the people are like that.
Yeah. Probably. I'd say 90% of them.
Right.
So. Yeah, then you have the really small growers who have like six lights in their house or something, and they're worried, you know, because they're I'm constantly hearing from them, because I have friends like that, and I'm constantly hearing from them how
that are just small growers,
yeah, just little mom and pop, you know, produce 10 pounds, you know, if that. But to them, you know, that's a lot of money to them, and they depend on it, but they're scared now that they're going to be edged out. But something tells me that there's always going to be a black market for it.
Right. It's so, always going to be not legal.
Yeah.
Someplace.
Yes. So,
right.
And even.
I was talking about this with Steve Geeter the other day about how in Georgia, I grew up with all the bootleg stories And as an adult, I realized, oh, all those stories happened like after Prohibition in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. And because there's still dry counties.
Yeah.
Right. Throughout Georgia and throughout the South.
Yeah.
Still are to this day.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I went to college in one in Statesboro.
Statesboro is a dry
county. It was at the time, man. We had to get, it was so crooked, dude, because we would go to the county line to buy liquor. And the county line liquor store was owned by the sheriff of Bullock County. So it was just so, so corrupt. It was ridiculous. But, and they would all, I remember they'd also let you brown bag it. You could go to the county line, buy liquor, and then brown bag it into a restaurant. So we go like into the Buffalo, you know, the Buffalo Wild, you know, the wings spot, and sit there and order wings and put a big bottle of whiskey on the table that we bought at the county line liquor. Just as long as the sheriff was getting his cut, you know. Kind of sounds like the same out here. Just as long as the sheriff gets his cut. Yeah, I'm just kidding about that.
Yeah, well, actually, that's kind of the case, right? It's like, that's where the tax money's going to go, right? That's kind of how they bought the sheriff and the police off here. Is, you know, and everywhere else. That's how they convinced police departments everywhere that legal cannabis was the way to go. It's like, hey, man, we'll give you tax revenue, and you don't have to deal with this issue anymore. And you can go focus on, like,
real crimes.
Yeah, real crimes.
Yeah.
You know, real things that people are
causing
problems. Right. So are people coming here from other states? Do you see that?
I do. I see people for different reasons too. Every season there's always a big wave of what we call trimmigrants that just come through and come out here to work, to trim on the hill for the summertime and in the fall. And,
because most people don't realize how big the industry is.
It's
here,
gigantic.
Right? It's gigantic.
Yeah, it's huge. It's so ridiculous. Literally... Especially these days. I mean, it was back in the 90s, it was huge. But now it's outrageous. You know?
How big do you think it is? You got any estimate?
I couldn't even tell you.
Describe a scene in the fall when harvest season is at its peak and the trimmigrants are in town.
Oh, good God. It's Kit is just all these folks from all over the country holding signs, you know, with pictures of scissors on it and funny little sayings. And, you know, some of it's funny and some of it's not.
Like what? A sign they have?
I just flat out ask, hey, you got any bud? You know, out of bud, right. We'll work for bud, you know, stuff like that. But it's funny because I'll drive past them and I'll just think to myself, if your mother knew where you were right now, she'd whoop your ass standing on the corner begging like that. She raised you better.
Oh, right. So you're actually talking about the handout asking for element, the street.
I think a lot of times
it's not quite the trim against though.
No,
right?
the ones that don't make it into the hill. That get left behind. Those are the troublemakers that they end up staying in town and never leaving. So that's the trimmigrant.
The trimmigrant. The story of the trimmigrant.
Yes, indeed.
Describe trimming to people who don't know audience that don't know anything about. So you take the plant, you harvest it, you dry it, and now you're ready to process it further for sale.
Yes.
Describe the trimming process.
Well, it's funny that you said when you first started this, I was thinking more of the trimming scene.
Okay. You're right. You know what? That's way more interesting. Describe the trim scene.
All right. So you're sitting at a table with anywhere from 3 to 15 to 20 people. A lot of them you have no clue who they are.
A table or a room, right?
Yes. And it's usually some crowded room that's hot.
Because these are people from all over the world that have come here.
Yes, and it is. Right. It's super hot and super sweaty. And you got to have a strong stomach. You know, there's definitely some stanky folks that you'll be sitting next to for sure, man. But show was bad, man. Front row of the fish show ain't shit on a trim scene, dude.
So these are like off. You're talking about on the hill.
Yeah, totally.
This is an on the hill.
Yeah,
trim.
Yeah.
And the hill.
And it's funny because there's you deal with all these different personalities. You know, there's guys that are there to work. You know, guys and girls that are there to work. There's guys and girls that are there to get laid. You know, there's just everyone's there for their own little agenda. But for the most part, they're up there to make money.
Right.
But yeah, they're all you sit there for
lots of Burning Man conversations.
Yes, God, Burning Man. But it's like 8 to 10 hours a day. You know, just sitting in one spot and. Snip, 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 making the little flowers look pretty.
Right. So you got scissors and you take the stem off and the excess leaf off.
Uh huh. Yeah, the little fluffy leaves.
Because we're smoking the flower.
Yeah.
Right?
The heart bud, of it.
The bud.
Yeah. Yes. The good.
Roll it up. Roll it up. Roll it up.
Is that my cue?
hey, you know what? I got some of that OG Kush.
Oh, don't tell Tony. he may not talk to you again.
Yeah. Good. Right.
But
right.
Now the trim scenes are very interesting. But
right, and yeah, so many people from all over the country come here.
They really do
come to Humboldt, California to trim
they
for
do.
The money because it's good. It's good money.
It is. Right? It's like, really good money. You know, and that's
how do people get paid? How does it work?
People get paid by the pound, and it's 200. The going rate right now on.
So by the pound means that you get paid per pound of cannabis that you trim.
Correct.
Okay.
And
piecework.
Yes. And it's actually if you can tolerate it, and you know, and you got pretty fast scissor hands. You can make good money.
How many pounds?
Average people, a lot of people, you know, the average person does about 1 pound a day, but I've seen some girls, there's some chicks, man, that'll do like 3 pounds in a day. And I'm holy cow, man.
I've heard the 4 pound story.
Yeah. And it's, but the thing that it's funny because as a grower, the person, you know, and with tremors, the price of a pound will fluctuate, you know, it'll go up or down, usually down. It very rarely does it go up.
And within a year, it goes up to down.
Yeah. Okay, but there, trimmers get paid $200 a pound and it never fluctuates. Like if say I'm getting what I used to get at $2,500 a pound and now I'm only getting $2,000 a pound, they're still getting $200 a pound. You know, so honestly, I feel that their pay should be based upon a scale, you know, a sliding scale
or percent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's I'm just tired of being, it's like the farmer. The farmer's ultimately the one that gets screwed in the end. You know, everyone makes their money, you know, the buyer, the seller, the broker, the trimmer, the this, the that, the labeler, the packager, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
At the end of the day, it all comes
off the farmers.
Of the day, it's the farmer that gets screwed. You know, it's like, it sounds like we're making tons of money, but it's really not that much after you consider the work and the time.
How much do you think it costs to grow a pound of weed?
Oh, man. I'd have to calculate it all out.
Yeah, right. It all depends. Light depth, greenhouse, indoor, outdoor.
Yeah, right, what your nutrients are.
Yeah.
If you're making teas.
Right, if it's organic, if it's synthetic, if you're using all house.
Yeah, how many
garden.
People you, if you're hiring people to help you plant up, laborers.
Right.
You know, I tend to do everything myself. That way I don't have to pay anybody.
Yeah.
Other than trimming. Right. And I don't want to sound like I'm hating on the trimmers, but man, it's rough when you got to pay them out, dude. You're just dishing it out like, oh, if I wasn't so lazy and I could trim this myself, there's no way I could, so. They deserve it to some extent.
So as your job, you don't have to trim weed.
No, okay. No.
You like, I wrote that into my contract.
Yeah, totally. Like pizza's on Friday and no trimming.
What kind of terminology is special to the cannabis industry?
Terminology?
Yeah. You mentioned one just a moment ago of, You said some special cannabis industry terminology.
I slipped up.
You slipped up. These like secret passwords.
Yes.
Right. You know, like, I called you a Grojo earlier.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell's that?
Grojo.
Is that like a grow ho?
Yeah, that's different. That's totally different. Right.
Grow ho back, grow Joe.
Right. That's how they meet.
Yes.
Right. We should write a bluegrass song about that.
Write a song. One
tip about a grow ho and a grow Joe. Yeah, right.
Maybe I should write it.
Write it, sing it, perform it.
Yes.
Right.
Indeed.
As long as I get right credit, I'll.
As long as it's money, I'll let you.
Right. You don't use any. So just like special terms that you know, babies for clones.
Oh, yes. Oh, the slang.
It's the slang, the terminology, the slang. There you go.
Oh, let's see if I can think of anything right now. Questions like that off the top of my head. I'm not sure, man. I'm stumped right now.
I stumped you. Well, hey, that's okay, man.
Terminology.
That's okay. So up here at Humble.
I'm thinking, I'm like, totes of dirt.
Totes, totally, bro.
I was talking about totes of dirt, man.
Up here in Humboldt, there's a long history of cannabis growing, cannabis farming, and cannabis culture.
Mm-hmm.
The new extract market is really coming into play throughout the country. How's that affecting Humboldt County?
It's huge. Every time I turn around, someone's asking for my trim. There's a
joke there.
Yeah, totally. I was about to.
You like pause.
I knew it. I was about to drop one. Everyone's asking about my trim.
Oh my goodness.
But they are. They really are. It's taken Humboldt by storm. Everyone's making oil every night on the news. You're hearing about some little backyard oil lab that's blowing up, catching something on fire. Everyone's trying it. There's a few companies around, Absolute Extract and some other places like that. They're doing well with it. Some companies out of Washington, out of Seattle. I'm not too savvy on the whole oil process, and I enjoy a dab or two here and there, but for the most part, I'm still into flowers.
Casual dabber.
Yeah, it's casual dabber.
I mean, I'm a casual dabber. Long-time smoker, casual dabber.
Absolutely. I just the whole, until there's a more efficient way of dabbing, doing dabs, I don't know. To be honest, I feel like a crackhead when I'm doing it, when I get the torch out and you're... I feel like I'm going to look up and my lips are going to be like crusty white or something. Like, damn, dude, I should have made better choices. But, yeah, I mean, if you've never seen dabs and you walk into a party where people are doing dabs, you're definitely going to be.
You're like, what the fuck
are they doing, man?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. That's what so many people say is like, oh, it looks like hard drugs, right? Oh, it looks too druggy to me. And it's like, oh, I never did hard drugs, so it just looks like hash to me.
Yeah, but I mean, I enjoy the high. The high is completely different on concentrates, on oils. It's really feel it in the chest a lot, and it usually glues me to the couch, but which isn't a bad thing. Being glued to the couch, I kind of enjoy every now and then.
Yeah, you know that. You know, that's
especially
the thing.
This couch.
It's a nice couch, isn't it?
It is. I like the color.
Yeah.
What is that?
You know, I for a long time I saved the color because it was such an interesting.
Is it chartreuse? Or is it
no.
Or is it baby puke green?
With a little bit of tan.
Yes. Is it tan? Am I colorblind?
Like, it's forest sand.
Forest sand, my ass.
Green tan.
It is. It really is. I like it.
It takes up different colors where in different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It goes well with my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing out the brown in my eyes right now. Whereas the red couch that you're on is
the red couch.
That is red, right?
It is red.
Okay, yes, I'm not colorblind. Red, good. Color. No, it's blue.
Right. So
concentrates. Man, what do you think about concentrates?
Man, I've always loved hash. It's a different thing. You know, I can't really smoke it so much. It gives me a headache.
It and, you know, concentrates make it hard to concentrate.
Yeah, I'll hit it occasionally, but it doesn't matter if it's, you know, bubble or full melt or sieve or CO2 or it.
It's tasty.
I end up getting a headache with it, so I don't really smoke it so much anymore.
Yeah.
But I used to just crush it as any form.
I did when I first moved out here. That was the same way.
Because you couldn't get it in any place else in the world.
No. In fact, it was funny because I remember right before I moved out here, some guy had been out west, and he came back. He's like, "Man, I got this stuff called wax," and we were jamming out, playing music. And if you've never done wax and you're jamming, it's probably not a good idea to. Let me put it this way. I didn't add anything to the jam. Like, I actually sat out. I got so high that I couldn't function and had to sit on a stool and put my bass down.
Is that the first time you smoked?
Oh, yeah. I had no idea what it was going to be like. And the flavor, I remember it was real.
How'd you smoke it?
He actually brought back a nail. It was like the titanium nail, I believe.
Yeah, totally.
He removed the bowl out of his bong and just put the titanium nail on there and put the torch to it, got it flaming hot, which was obviously way too hot. And, you know, we didn't know that at the time, but so he did that. And I remember hitting it and it not giving off much smoke, and the flavor just being so lemony. It's like I had drank a bottle of Pine Sol. I mean, it tasted great. I mean, not that Pine Sol would probably taste great, but. It was that smell. That's the way it tasted. And I got so high, I had to sit down on the stool. Like, I couldn't play music. But, yeah, it was intense.
That was your first time.
Yeah, yeah. And then I moved out here. And like you said, I was just smoking it all the time. And it just got to the point where after a while, my chest just got too tight. And I wasn't getting anything done during the day. I was just sitting around.
Right. The first time I hit it, like they do dabs, because, you know, we'd had that type of extract for a number of years previously. But the first time that I did dabs, I did it on one of those little, like, it was like a little glass jar that's screwed into the bottom of a pipe.
Uh-huh.
Right. I remember hitting it and got so high so immediately. I kept saying to myself, I'm a professional. I can handle this.
Yeah.
I'm a professional. I can handle this. And I just sat there in my kitchen in this party I was having for like 30 minutes going, I'm a professional. I can handle this shit. I can do it.
Yep.
Finally, I came down.
Yes.
Well, so, yeah, thanks for joining me on Real Dirt with Chip Baker, Brian Barfield.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
We look forward to hearing more from you in the future and seeing how the legal cannabis industry is progressing in Humboldt County.
Thank you very much. Mm. It was a pleasure to be here.
And the next time I invite you on, you're going to have to bring more weed.
Well, I thought I'd know out, you know. Three jars isn't enough. I'll bring four.
Yeah.
Actually, I got another one out of the car.
Like, oh, great.
I know what flavor you want to smoke.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Diesel OG.
Well,
diesel OG. All right. Hey, thanks, bud.
Yep. Thank you.
Wow. That was a fantastic episode of The Real Dirt. I'd just like to give a shout out to my sponsors, Denver Consulting, Bickle Consulting, Archive Seed Bank, Cultivate Colorado, and Canacraft. Without you, this episode wouldn't be possible. Let me also give a shout out to my production team, Lisa, Willow, Phipps, Chris, Michael, and Hollis. And to the rest of you, stay dirty, my friends.